Good morning. Before we get too settled in, I'm going to ask you to maybe go ahead and stand and to turn to your neighbors and say, there is always a place for you here. Always a place here. As I mentioned, I believe last week, we are going to begin kind of a new journey, continue a journey in a different way. We are between now and Easter Sunday, we are going to be traveling 1 John. And so today that means 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And that means if you're grabbing a Pew Bible, page 862. Will be helpful. That also means the words will be on the screen behind me as well. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Before we go there, this is an ancient letter written by a follower of Jesus, a guy by the name of John. John was central in the early church. He had a central voice in the early church. We believe this letter was written somewhere in the original 60s, somewhere between the 60s and the 90s. Most scholars tell us it was written somewhere between the year 85 and the year 100. Most likely it was written while John was in Ephesus. And so keep in mind here, the church at this point, the church has been around for a number of decades. And so we could say that the first generation of Jesus followers is fading. The leadership is changing. Disagreements are emerging. Some are leaving. Those who remain are seeking. And it's into that reality, there and then, that reality, that John writes this ancient letter. What is not a formal document, what is not a well-ordered essay, but is a heartfelt letter to a community of people that he dearly loves. Not written in a modern Western linear form, but written in an ancient Eastern Hebraic style. And so this letter doesn't really travel in a straight line. It moves in circles and returns and kind of repeats. And with that then, 1 John is less about telling us what to believe and is more about teaching us how to live. It is less about arriving at a destination and more about forming us along the way. And we see that here in this opening line, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he writes, "We read that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." Verse 3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We write, verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. And with that, let's pray. God, we thank you as always for the gift it is to gather. We thank you for your word and your words to us. And as we quiet our minds and we open our hearts, Lord, would you lead us and shape us and draw us into life together. In Jesus' name, amen. From the poet Mary Oliver, she writes, "To pay attention, this is our endless and proper work." Which is interesting because I think that's exactly where John begins, right? That which, he says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have looked at and our hands have touched, right? John begins there. Not with commands to enforce, not with expectations to defend, not with statements to believe. He says, but to pay attention, right? To notice, to encounter. Right? This is not abstract theology. This is embodied testimony. This is an encounter with the word of life, as John puts it. Right? This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life, he says, verse 2, appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has, and then again we read here, appeared to us. That word appeared, that can be translated revealed, phanero'o in the Greek. Noting that in both Greek and Hebrew thought, this is not speaking of ideas or concepts or beliefs, but it is speaking of presence, of the presence. And we can think back maybe even to last month, to stop, to cease, to rest, right? To listen, to notice, to be present. Right, to relax and to let go, to lean in and to be with. This life, it says, the life appeared, right, revealed, present, right, to pay attention. This is our endless and proper work. We begin there. We always begin there. Not with commands to enforce, not with expectations to defend, not with statements of to believe. The foundation of life, the foundation of your life and mine, John says. It is not found in explanation or information. It is an encounter. It was back in my days at the University of Oregon. I lived in a two-story home with three roommates. My bedroom was on the second floor at the top of the stairs. At the back of my room was a closet. It was a walk-in closet, although it was just about big enough for me to fit in. Along one side was a shelf that went across the top of the hangers. And on that shelf was my Bible. It was a children's version Bible that I had, I believe, received when I was in the third grade. And so on occasion, this happened more than once, it was on a number of different occasions, I would go up to my room, I would shut the door, I would go into the closet, I would pull down the Bible from the shelf, I would go sit on my bed, and I would open it to Genesis 1:1, and I would begin to read. And generally, I would get through, you know, there's the story of creation, and that's pretty cool, and then you get Cain and Abel, and that's kind of fascinating, and then it gets bogged down a little bit in some genealogy, and then it picks up again, you get Noah and the ark and the animals and all that good stuff, and then around chapter 9 into 10, 11, it just came to a screeching halt. And I always thought to myself, I know there's something to this, right? I know there's something to this, and I don't get it. I don't understand. And actually, as I was preparing for this, it took me back to that, because what I realized is when I was reading for information. I was reading for explanation. I was reading to try to understand. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think we often read the Bible in that way. And yet here John comes to us and he tells us that faith, it does not begin with figuring it out. It begins the foundation of our life with God. It is not about information. It is not about explanation. It is an encounter. And really, that doesn't even begin with John. It's not something new. In fact, if we go back to the garden, right, the story of creation, there is encounter. The story of Moses at the burning bush, right, an encounter with God. We can think a couple weeks back, Psalm 46:10. Right? God doesn't tell us to get everything figured out. Right? He says, be still and know. Right? Rafah and Yadah. We can go back to last December and the season of Advent and the prophets. They're from Isaiah 7 and 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will name him Emmanuel. Right? Not commands to enforce, not explanations to defend, not statements to believe, but Emmanuel, right? God with us. The word of life, John writes, the life appeared, revealed, present, God with us. Not an explanation, not an instruction, not information, but an encounter. And that encounter, John tells us, verse 3, is so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Not so that you think like we think, not so that you believe like I believe, right? But so that you may, he says, have fellowship with us. Right? Encounter leads to fellowship. From the Greek koinonia, it's a word that speaks of a common life or a shared life. This is the kind of life that is held together in community. And in that, John writes, we rejoice. We rejoice, kara. Not a joy that comes from having everything figured out and having all the right answers. But it comes from an encounter, a sharing life together. The foundation of your life and mine, the foundation of our life with God. Right? John says it begins with an encounter. I remember when I graduated, got my master's degree in counseling psychology, and I'd done all the thesis stuff and completed my classes and sat before the board and they approved me. And so off I went out into the real world. And that time I was working at a practice in Salem, Good Samaritan. And I remember as I was thinking about that first time I would be sitting with a client, sitting with another person. And I remember how much stress that created for me. And I kept thinking, if I could just read one more book, if I could just, you know, one more article, just understand one more theory. It was like, give me a little bit more and then I'll be ready. Sort of fast. I mean, that stuff is helpful, but it's not the foundation is being in that room and being present. That encounter that I had with that person for that time we had together. I mean, all the theory and the study is fantastic, but it doesn't matter unless you're present there encountering the person who is sitting there with you. And to be honest, I think that's where most of the healing comes. Right? When we weep with those who weep, cry with those who cry, we rejoice with those who rejoice. Right? It's presence. It's an encounter. And so, in just a few minutes that we have, I want to invite us, before the worship team comes back up, and Chris, I invite you to do that when you feel led, but to sit for just a few moments together in stillness, and maybe to consider, reflect on, where in my life have I been trying to figure things out instead of paying attention to what is already present? Where has faith become more about explanation than encounter? Where has faith been more about information than encounter? Where have I made faith something private instead of moving me into shared life with others? And then what might it look like this week not to believe more, but to notice, to encounter, and to live a shared life? To pay attention, that is our endless and proper work, and this we proclaim concerning the word of life.